We are welcoming back to the show this morning Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, Ronnell Higgins. And before Ronnell takes a seat and chats with us this morning, it was interesting. I came across a new study, and I wanted to talk to Ronnell about this, see if he's even surprised by it. But Connecticut apparently has seen a real jump in emergency calls made in the last year. There was a new study revealing state by state the highest increase in 911 calls. So this research, which was conducted by a Las Vegas personal injury law firm, analyzed 911 call data from 911.gov. Okay. And when you look at the state to state 2019 through 2022 call rates and the percentages, apparently Connecticut landed in the sixth biggest increase in 911 calls. And we do follow other states surrounding us, number one and number two being New Jersey and Massachusetts. So I wanted to talk to Ronnell about just emergency calls in general, certainly seeing this, but also we're heading into the legislative session. It's going to be starting on Wednesday. And we know that crime will certainly be one of the focuses for lawmakers up in Hartford. Ronnell, welcome back in studio. So glad to have you. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so glad to have you back, and Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
So let's start with, are you surprised by that study that we're seeing a huge jump in 911 emergency calls in Connecticut?
Not necessarily surprised. I'm glad that they are studying it. I have found that residents of Connecticut really rely upon the public safety services, and they want to access those services in the time of need. You may recall that when people were asking what to do if they saw somebody driving recklessly or speeding on the highways, that we advised them to call 911. We did see a jump in 911 calls as a result of that. I'm not attributing that jump in the state of Connecticut to that directive. However, I will say that residents of the state of Connecticut, when they want services, they know how to call 911. And that is the contract that we have with our residents, that in an emergency, contact 911. If you want to access police or fire services, call 911. So in part, I see it as a success. We are moving towards next generation 911, enabling residents to share video and other information with dispatchers this year. So that's, you're going to probably see another increase in that area as well. And we know that younger people are mostly the early adopters of technology. So we're going to be targeting those younger audiences so that they know how to leverage the technology on their phones to share that information that they have, whether in their workplace, in their school, wherever they are, so that dispatchers have the best information and can put the police in the best possible situation to help them in their time of need.
So what I'm hearing from you, Ronnell Higgins, if I'm understanding correctly, is it may not even be a bad thing necessarily when you see a huge jump in the calls, because it means that there's more of a public engagement with police, which is what you want. I mean, we want to have people helping the police. They're not superheroes. These are people who need to know from the public, hey, I'm seeing this, or I'm helping with this, or I'm giving tips to that. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad study highlighting the fact that Connecticut is getting an uptick in calls.
I agree. That's exactly what I'm saying. However, I do believe it points to another recruitment initiative that we have, and that is dispatchers. Police and fire both work through dispatchers. We need people to dispatch public safety services. So that's I know the state police has been recruiting dispatchers. Other police departments in the state of Connecticut have been working really hard to try to engage citizens, young people who want to go into a career in public safety. Being a dispatcher is a great first step. And for some, it's a first step, a stepping stone. For others, it is a destination. We have some dispatchers in the state of Connecticut who have served for 25 and 30 years, and they're some of the best. You want those trained public servants on that radio when a citizen calls to get that information and to dispatch police or fire services.
I'm actually curious, Commissioner Higgins, are dispatchers, and there's a reason I'm asking this question, are they considered an entry-level job? Could it be?
It could be. Absolutely could be. You have some people who have started off as a dispatcher and then become a fireman or a police officer. Absolutely.
So the reason I ask that is because, interestingly enough, Trumbull, not too long ago, or I think it was just a few weeks ago, they made a rule change at their police department that entry-level jobs now for the police department can now be somebody with a GED. You do not have to have a college degree. You do not have to have a military background. I thought that was a really big deal, and I'm wondering why that can't be universal. I feel like that would maybe solve not all, but some of the problems, like you're saying, filling dispatcher jobs, for example, just the requirement to be a dispatcher may be too much.
Yeah, I think as we look at public safety writ large, some of the requirements that were set in place many, many years ago, many of which you just described, need to be reevaluated. I see there's more of an emphasis nationally on micro-credentials. Do you necessarily need a college degree to do some of this work? No, you don't. But is there a credential that you can get, you know, either online or with adult learning that would position you to be able to take some of these positions? Mm-hmm. Listen, we have to change. Things are evolving. Things are moving pretty quickly. So we have to change, and we have to evaluate how people learn and where they're getting their information from, and make sure, listen, we want people who are the best suited to be on that radio. We want the people who are ethical and who we can trust in those seats doing the work. But how we learn in terms of education, where we're getting educated now, things have changed, and we have to evolve with it.
Mm-hmm. And again, we have Commissioner Higgins here, who is the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. We were just talking about a study showing that Connecticut was the sixth highest increase for 911 calls when you look at the stretch between 2019 and 2022. But not necessarily a bad thing. It doesn't mean we're seeing more bad things happening. It's people engaging with the police. And, another thing that I wanted to talk about, you had mentioned it before, actually, Ronnell, was that we're going to start using technology where when you make those 911 calls, you're even using footage. This mm-hmm. was something I believe we talked to Bridgeport's police chief, Roderick Porter, about, mm-hmm. was that Bridgeport was one of the guinea pig, I would say, cities that tried this out, where if you are in the midst of an emergency, you are allowed to then give access to the dispatcher to see in live, you know, video footage. Hey, this is what I'm seeing, like access to your phone. Is that something that we're trying to make, again, universal, either for state police or more departments, or is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, so the Division of Statewide Emergency Telecommunications in the state of Connecticut falls under my agency desk.
Okay.
So absolutely, Next Generation 911 has been something that's been talked about for years, and it's finally here. And in the state of Connecticut, it's going to become more widely adopted. What Chief Porter is talking about is really the evolution of 911. Before, someone calls 911, there's a conversation between the citizen and the dispatcher. Now, we're going to be able to provide additional information, or the citizen will be able to provide additional information to the dispatcher. If they want,
mm-hmm.
precisely.
Yeah.
Putting the dispatcher at a better advantage to provide the services necessary in that emergency.
Totally. I think that's a game changer, honestly. And I know it's been slowly working its way in Bridgeport, but they like it. They feel it's very effective. And again, it's that if you have the choice to do it, then you can. You don't have to do it. So I think that it makes it very attractive. I would hope for other departments to pick that up as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. In studio, we have Commissioner Ronnell Higgins of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. And during the break, we were just talking about actually the CT Safe app, which is something I actually only recently became familiar with, Ronnell, and it was because you and I got connected. For people who are not familiar with it and how it works, what exactly is it? What does it do for people?
Sure. The CT Safe app is an app that you can download to your iPhone or your Android that really puts the citizen in a position to report suspicious activity. Not necessarily an emergency. We're not talking about a 911 call, but on the heels of Las Vegas and on the heels of New Orleans, we felt this was the proper time to reintroduce the state of Connecticut to CT Safe app. You know, we after 9/11, when there was the mantra, "If you see something, say something." We want to just reengage our residents, just to say, "If you see something, say something," and even if you think it's suspicious, it's, you know, share it with us, and we'll make a determination as to, you know, the viability of what you saw. So it's something that we felt, listen, we have millions of citizens in the state of Connecticut. Almost everyone has a phone. Download the app. It puts you in a position to share information with us. The state of Connecticut has a lot of critical infrastructures. Oftentimes, people's intuition, they see things that's not quite right. If it doesn't seem quite right, share it with us. That information will either go to the Connecticut State Police, it'll go to the Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, or we'll share it with your local police department. Again, it's just a way of citizens and us being interconnected with one another to share information about things that are going on.
I imagine a lot of people use the CT Safe app during the drone stuff going on between Thanksgiving and Christmas,
yeah,
I would think.
We saw an increase in calls for service, and that was a busy time for us. So, you know, it really puts things into perspective.
But again, it's people engaging. That's the goal here, is that the best way that policing can go on is if they are hearing directly from the people they're serving, and they are seeing in real time what is of concern. They can respond more accurately that way.
Anytime we can leverage the use of existing technology to connect our residents to public safety is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to use, again, most people have phones already. How can people help? They can download the app and they can share information with public safety.
And when we share things on CT Safe, is that going to state police? Is that going to our departments in our cities and towns? Who's getting that information?
It goes to the Division of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, who vets it and then shares it.
Okay, got it. So that's really, can people get alerts from that app? So like, let's say somebody says there's something happening near a school, and the school then goes into lockdown. If we live in that jurisdiction, would we get updates or anything from the CT Safe app, or is it strictly somewhere where we report stuff?
You're reporting right now.
Okay.
There is a component where you can receive alerts.
Oh, okay.
But we're reporting, right. You're reporting right now.
Neat. Okay. The CT Safe app. And again, that is for Apple, Android users. You could get it for free. And we have Ronell Higgins here, the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. We've got the legislative session starting this week, and we know crime is always going to be top of mind. It's going to be one of the things lawmakers focus on. Certainly, our listeners are very concerned about street takeovers and just, I think, road dangers in particular. What would you like to see happen, Ronell, you know, see lawmakers really tackle during the session?
Wow. Well, you know, the number one complaint that I have received from residents throughout this year is about speeding.
Yes, sure.
Speeding
is a disaster.
Speeding and street takeovers. I think it's time we look at what the penalties are for speeding. I think if laws are going to be a deterrent, I think we need to look at the fines for speeding, revisit that. Street takeovers, I feel firmly that if someone travels from out of state, New York or Boston or Providence or wherever, into Connecticut to participate in a street takeover, there should be a higher penalty for that. But street takeovers in and of themselves are inherently dangerous. They put people at risk. They waste policing resources not only in that jurisdiction, but oftentimes that local police department has to call in for assistance from other jurisdictions. It's a waste of police services.
Mm-hmm.
It costs money. If we begin to quantify the amount of money that it costs to respond to a street takeover in any town in the state of Connecticut, it costs a lot of money.
Mm.
So I really think we need to unpack what these cost and start to think about how we're going to hold people accountable for participating in them and organizing them.
And I think to that same testament, I would, and I don't know how you feel about this, Ronell, but I feel like the other thing too, when you talk about the waste of resources and the waste of money, are fake threats to calls, or to schools, excuse me. When you have, especially we saw a huge uptick in Connecticut students making fake threats and schools going into lockdown, police responding, schools being canceled, delayed, all of that. I mean, I think there needs to be, I think, higher penalties. I know we're talking about students certainly, but either more curriculum or something around that, and understanding the weight of those actions too, though, because that's also a huge waste of resources, money, and trauma. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah. We met with the Department of Education earlier this year in September. I mean, things started off pretty rocky with the swatting calls.
Yeah.
We need a multi-pronged approach there. I think you nailed it. Part of it is education. We need the assistance from parents, and I don't have the solution for that. We want to be partners with the Department of Education on how to resolve this. We will always respond. But again, that was an issue that was vexing at the beginning of this school year.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. I mean, it was dozens and dozens of school districts went through it in about a month and a half's time. It was crazy. Yeah. So would love to see, you know, when we talk about technology advances, would love to see a better way to track down exactly where they are so they can find the person, find if the threat is credible earlier rather than later.
Yeah. Well, we did identify a number.
I know.
I repeat, a number of those students who were involved. So, I mean, law enforcement is very good at tracking them down. But again, the resources used for this fake threat because someone, wanted to get out of class. Someone thought it was funny. It's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. It's unacceptable.
Yeah. And like you said, it's a multi-pronged approach. It can't just be the police who it falls on or schools. I mean, it does kind of fall on as well. I think the families, you have to have these conversations with your kids and understanding the weight of your actions. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And as a parent, I mean, parents are working. They have a tough road to go. I mean, they're working as hard as they can. Mm-hmm. So we've really got to come together and just figure out how we can address this holistically.
Absolutely. Commissioner Ron L. Huggins, thank you so much for what you do and for coming in studio and chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.